You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He's Anthony Pusick. How are you, Anthony?
Don, how are we doing today?
Good, good. There's plenty of places to go. Very interesting night last night in the National Hockey League. Let's give the Philadelphia Flyers some love, shall we?
Why not?
Everybody thought the bottom was going to drop out after the Carter Hart situation, and they couldn't possibly hold on to third place. And we fast forward a month later, they're still in third. With 78 points, not really being threatened by the Islanders, who lose another game, what, five in a row now. I think Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and New Jersey are done. Washington sits at 75 points, so I guess they're still in the conversation, 3 points back with two games in hand. So Philadelphia's not out of the woods. But interesting that Sean Couturier was benched.
Yes.
And a former friend of ours with the Rangers, Brandon Dubinsky, tweeted out from negative things about that. Listen, I know sometimes I'm a John Tortorella apologist, but you got to do what you got to do, Anthony. I mean, John Tortorella's done a great job there in Philadelphia. I understand that, you know, Couturier's a star and he's a leader and he's a captain and all that, but he has not been playing well. And you bench him and you end up beating the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-3. I just don't know. It's not friends, it's show business, and I understand Brandon, you know, backing up a player, but sometimes you got to make very difficult decisions. What's best for the organization and its future? Couturier is not a part of their future. He's a part of their present. He's not playing well. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and he did it, and it worked, and we'll see whether it hurts or hinders the room moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Torts really enjoyed having to field questions about it after the game. A game they won, by the way, against a good Toronto team. But you know how this is going to go, Don. I mean, Couturier, kind of weird to ask the question when it works, right? I mean, they asked, why did you bench him? And you know he's not going to give you anything along the lines of why he did it. But you got to do what you got to do, like you said. I think that, clearly he didn't like the way Couturier was playing, or it was to send a message to the team, and whether you think that that's the reason they won or not, they did beat a very good Maple Leaf team at home, 4-3. They're holding on to that three spot, like you said, and we kind of thought the bottom was going to fall out. They were going to fall into a wild card, possibly not make the playoffs. It's certainly a lot tighter, but you look at the teams that are behind them. Washington has two games in hand. They're 3 points back, so they can catch them. And the Islanders are now 5 points back, and they only have one game in hand, and this is just to get to third, of course. Like, the Flyers still have the ability to hold on to a wild card spot here as well, because they have more points than Detroit, and they're only 2 points behind Tampa, although Tampa has a game in hand. So a very interesting situation. You got to give credit to Torts for keeping the team together with all the injuries they've been dealing with on the blue line without having Carter Hart. They've still managed to hold on. It's obviously just been a battle between 1 and 2 in the Metro for a while between New York and Carolina, so we've kind of forgotten Philadelphia as just this team that really isn't going to move up. They can only move down. But there has got to be some credit here. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They're treading water, kind of like what the Rangers were doing when they were struggling. But they haven't lost any. They haven't lost ground yet.
No.
In a very tough division and in a very tough East.
Now, I understand you have a pedigree, but he's got 1 point, which is an assist, in his last 9 games. And what is he, like a -5 in that span of time? I mean, and he just hasn't been producing. So, and it worked. I get that there are challenges when you're a coach to try to keep the room together, and there's certain players that can't be touched. But, you know, in New York, you remember when Alex Rodriguez was dropped to the 8th spot, you know, and Joe Torre had to do that. Didn't go over well. It didn't work. So, but this worked, and I'm sure he'll get back into the lineup. I don't know if he was sending a message. A coach is going to tell you, it's my job to put together the best team in that moment to win a hockey game. And it can't just be about friends and all that. It's what gives me the best chance to win. You look at last night's Ranger game. Matt Rempe's eligible to come back. Matt Rempe was not right for the matchups. The game was home. I'm sure the crowd would have loved Matt Rempe coming back from the suspension. Rempe didn't play.
Chanted his name.
Because obviously John Tortorella, Peter Laviolette didn't think that the matchup was right because the Winnipeg Jets are a fast team. Winnipeg doesn't have a bruiser. They're not as physical a team as maybe Boston or Florida. I'm sure Rempe will be back in the lineup tomorrow. Or if you want to go the Pittsburgh route. Oh, everybody thought, well, Chad Ruedel should have played for the Rangers returning to Pittsburgh. Chad had talked about when he got traded to the Rangers how emotional that first game in Pittsburgh is going to be. And a lot of coaches would have said, you know what? Hey, let's have him dress. Peter didn't dress him. Why? Because it just wasn't the right time to dress him. You know, you can't play where you are. I was talking to Steve Mears. He said Mike Sullivan's the same way in Pittsburgh. You know, you get emotional and you want to do the right thing. But no, I got to get 2 points. What gives me the best chance to get 2 points? And if you don't think Sean Couturier is going to help you win, then you bench him. Or you don't dress him. You scratch him. That's what coaches do.
You know what, Don? Enough from us, all right? Let's hear John Tortorella and his decision to scratch Sean Couturier.
Fire away. Sean, can you tell me your decision?
Not answering your question. Next question.
John, was there any effect, do you think, with pulling Sean Couturier from the lineup? What were you looking for from the team by making that move?
As I told you, I'm putting the players out on the ice to win a particular game, and these were the 20 that we decided to go with.
Beautiful.
He seemed a little, you know.
I'm not talking on Sean. I'm not debating with you. I'm not conversing with you. It's between Sean and I. So just talk to me about the game, guys.
When Sean was out, how do you think the team responded, especially?
It has nothing to do with Sean being out. You asking me about the team?
How did they respond in your eyes?
Our team played good tonight.
Excellent.
Now, he doesn't have to be as salty as he is. No, I know, but he loves being confrontational and all that, so I'm not going to support how salty he was, but I like the fact that he said, I put the best 20 out there. That's what a coach is supposed to do. This isn't a movie. This isn't sentimentality. It's about putting the best out there, and his job is on the line. His cubes are on the table.
Wow.
If it doesn't work and it backfires, it'll look bad on him. But you sit there, you get together, and I've seen this following hockey for 30 years and covering it for 20 plus, you know, and having conversations with John Tortorella and other coaches about decisions that are made. And it's all, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about what Peter Laviolette said it after the loss yesterday. He shuffled lines together, right? He put Zibanejad, he moved the centers around. So,
yeah.
So Zibanejad was playing with Lafreniere and Panarin for a second because they were looking for goals. He broke up the pairing of Schneider and Miller, so he put Miller with Fox. So after the game, Peter said, "Well, are we going to see that?" Was asked, "Are we going to see that moving forward?" And he said, "Well, we're going to talk, we're going to have meetings, and we're going to look at the film, and we're going to discuss, you know, what line stays and what line goes, and you know what they're going to be a slave to, Anthony. What gives them the best chance to beat Boston on Thursday? That's all it is." And that's all you should want it to be as a fan, honestly. I mean, I know Couturier's feelings are hurt. I'm sure a diehard Flyer fan that might be a Couturier fan's a little upset. But at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, and Philadelphia needs wins. And John Tortorella thought this gave them the best chance to win, and they won.
And by the way, I'm not necessarily sure that Matt Rempe was going to make much of a difference in that game yesterday between the Rangers and the Jets.
And I don't know how you felt about it from a fan's perspective. That was a very, very difficult spot. Matter of fact, we have the ice picks, which I ended up losing, by the way, only five goals.
Listen, what can you do? It happens sometimes.
I didn't feel the Rangers at all yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
I'm not betting on the game that I'm calling, so that wasn't going to be one of my picks.
Because you're professional.
You know, that's my policy. That's a tough spot. You're down Trouba, you're down Lindgren. Winnipeg had scored 12 goals in the previous two games, and they had a chip on their shoulder. I was talking to some of the Winnipeg guys before the game, and because they had not played well against an elite team in a while.
Great.
And so they had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder in that game.
Excellent.
I thought the Rangers were outstanding in the first period.
Yep, I agree.
Hellebuck was terrific. They had an awful second period in which one of Dave's analysis in that period was that they looked tired, and they did.
Yep.
You know, and it's their sixth game in 9 days.
Yep.
And it clearly showed with the long change, and there were some bad decisions. I thought, you know, Kreider trying to make something happen leads to the breakaway by Scheifele.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But, Anthony, you're going to lose games. I mean, Winnipeg, I know it's Winnipeg, and they're not sexy, and a lot of people don't know a lot of the players on the team. You know, Mark Scheifele came into that game last night leading the team with 59 points. I mean, so they don't have a star-studded lineup unless you're like a really diehard hockey fan. That team is good. That team can win the cup. I mean, they're deep. They're fast. They defend well. They've allowed only...
Hellebuck was unbelievable, by the way.
What's that?
Hellebuck was unbelievable when he needed
to be. The thing is, and a lot of teams get frustrated by this, but especially the Rangers, and you know, going back to when Ben Bishop was with Tampa, these big goaltenders are a pain in the ass. And there was a couple of times where the Rangers made plays. There was one play in the third period, Kako point blank range. There was nowhere to shoot.
Nope.
Because Hellebuck is so big, all Kako could do was just like fire it into his chest, just hoping that, you know, I don't know, something weird happened, but like there was, it gave him nothing. And I think Pionk's a very underrated player. We've talked about how Kyle Connor is a very underrated player. You know, Scheifele with the hat trick. Yeah. Josh Morrissey is a guy that if he played for any other team, if he was on the Maple Leafs, he would be a star. But he's a Winnipeg Jet, and they don't get a lot of love. But they've got 93 points. They're in first place in a crippling Central Division. So there's no shame in losing that game. I mean, that's a really good team. They played to a overtime with the Rangers won in a game we watched together and broke bread together at the station back on October 30th.
It was a beautiful time. I remember it well.
Hey, and that's why we said this week was going to be tough. Boston's going to be difficult tomorrow. Florida on Friday on Saturday night. These are big boys, and I thought they didn't give up. The Lafreniere goal late, 3-2. Ice is tilted. Kreider had a deflection that almost went in to tie the game. Hey, what are you going to do? You're short two of your best defensemen, and you played hard against one of the best teams in the NHL, so be it.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I was talking to my buddy Scott, who called into the K-Show a couple days ago. He's a big Ranger fan like me. And he said, this is either going to get really ugly, or we're going to be pleasantly surprised. And I think that the second period was the ugly portion, and I think the third and the first was the pleasantly surprised. You know, you have a bad period against a good team, and it could cost you. And that's exactly what happened with the Rangers last night. The second was ugly, even though they scored. They were dominated 5-on-5, which is usually the only reason that Laviolette's making changes, other than wanting, of course, trying to find a spark in terms of scoring. And he might do that late. If he's doing it mid-game, it's because he just doesn't like the way the team's playing 5-on-5. Will Cooley seems to be in Chateau Bow Wow. With Peter Laviolette at the present moment, because he seems to not be getting a lot of ice time. I think he only had like a minute and a half before the last 5 minutes of the third in that third period. So a guy who's been pretty consistent for them has now dropped to the fourth line and kind of has and has made a couple bad penalties, maybe getting exposed a little bit here. So that's something to keep an eye on. But yeah, I mean, I like the way that they 6-on-5 for them is something to behold. I mean, it's a pseudo power play for them, and they seem to do really, really well with when they pull Shesterkin and when they pull quick. They move the puck so well. It was great to see Lafreniere find in the top corner for two games in a row now.
20 goals now.
Yeah, and he seemed to find his shot, but Hellebuck really just stood on his head. I don't think Igor, yes, of course, you want to try and stop more breakaways than not. I'm not going to really fault him for the shift. He didn't have his best game. But you kind of knew that the defense was going to be a little bit of a struggle with Ruedel in there, along with Zach Jones. No Trouba, no Lindgren. First game without Lindgren usually doesn't go well for the Rangers whenever he's hurt. There's no shame in losing to the Jets. Steve Alkett pointed out in the post game that the Rangers have kind of faced a lot of big dogs recently in Tampa, Carolina, Winnipeg, and the only team that they've beaten was Carolina. They lost to Florida. They have another chance to play Florida on Saturday, but I don't necessarily think that means they can't hang with these teams. There's so many different reasons for why they lost those games. The Jets are obviously a formidable opponent. I think they could win the West with how good they're playing, especially if Hellebuck plays like that. Man, oh man, it's going to be really hard to beat them no matter who you are. I'm not that upset. I'm upset with the way the second was, but again, they've played a lot of games. They're without two of their defensemen. You gotta hope it doesn't become a habit. They gotta play better 60 minutes against Boston. Gotta be competitive against Florida. If you could beat Florida at home, boy oh boy, that would be amazing. But now, very quietly, Don, we were talking about it on Monday, Carolina won last night, only 2 points back of the Rangers, and they have a much easier schedule in the next five than the Rangers do, so it's gonna be very interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, Gensel scores again. The Islanders are in free fall now, just 1 point in their last five after a six-game winning streak. Couple that with Detroit's overtime win over Columbus. The Islanders are in a heap of trouble right now, and we'll see if they're going to be able to find a way out of it. But Carolina, as you said, 2 points back. Carolina joins the party, Anthony. There are eight teams, in my mind, right now that can win the President's Trophy. Think about that. I don't know if I've ever can remember on March 20th when we're down to, like, you know, 13, 14 games remaining in the season. Sometimes some teams only have 12, that there could be eight legitimate teams that can win the President's Trophy. Obviously, Boston, who right now has the most points with 97. Florida certainly is in the conversation. Rangers in the conversation. So is Carolina. And then you go out west, you know, Vancouver's been on top all year, and all three teams in the Central Division. And Winnipeg, Dallas, and Colorado. Colorado's now won seven in a row. They got a hat trick from Rantanen last night. So there are eight teams competing to be the best team in the NHL. That's amazing to me. I don't ever remember.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I can't recall, Don, honestly. I think I can remember having one or two in each conference. But as much as there is, it's kind of interesting. There's a logjam at the top, and there's a logjam near the wild cards for both conferences. You could see who's the upper echelon teams in each conference, and then you could see the teams that are going to make it, but you don't see them as a legitimate threat to win the cup. Any of those 8 to 9 teams that can win the President's Trophy have a really good chance of winning the cup. Not saying that one of those other teams can't, but I would be pleasantly surprised if it's not one of these 8 or 9. Now, I know you're saying, well, you know, only 16 teams get in, so yes, half of the field can win, but There's something about the way that these specific teams are playing. Boston,
no, it's
Florida, the Rangers, the Hurricanes, the Jets, I'll throw the Stars in there, the Avalanche, and Vancouver. They all, I think, have a really good shot of winning. And one of them is going to get eliminated in the first round.
It is crazy that we're talking about 16 teams to make the playoffs, and literally as we are a month away from the end of the season, less than a month away from the end of the season, half of those 16 can end up being the best team in the NHL. And teams that won't, you know, tremendously dangerous. I mean, Tampa is a completely different
team. Didn't I mention Tampa to you, Don?
Yeah.
Is there plus money in Vegas?
It's such a listen. I don't think they're going to do it, but they're scary in a best of seven series.
Mm-hmm.
Scarier than Vegas. I know we talk about Vegas, and ironically, those two teams played each other in Vegas last night. That nobody wants to draw the defending Stanley Cup champions in the first round. I get that, and that is dangerous for those teams in the West.
Sure,
but in the East, not just because Tampa's got the pedigree. The Duclair and Dumba acquisitions were amazing. Duclair scored again last night.
Yeah.
You know, so you find these perfect fits. They're a much better team. If you tell me that they made that deal earlier in the season, could they be competing to be a top three team in the Atlantic? Absolutely. So now they're kind of just lurking there. And the bad news for, you know, the Washingtons and the Islanders, it really just comes down to that last wild card spot, because now Tampa's got a 4 point lead on Detroit for the first wild card with a game in hand. So the way Tampa's playing right now, looks like they've secured a playoff spot with their 4 straight wins. Detroit, huge win in overtime, as I mentioned. So it's really, I think Tampa's in. Philadelphia continues to prove that they can get the job done. So are we now ready to have a conversation, Anthony, where it's three teams for one spot? Even though Buffalo is still kind of there, they've played 70 games.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I think
so.
I think
is
it's
it Detroit,
nice.
Washington, and New York now for that final playoff spot? Are you willing to shrink it down to that?
Yeah, I am. I thought Buffalo was an interesting story. They needed to play significantly better in order to stay in the conversation. I think Greg Wyshynski's been putting it out, Don. I don't know if you've seen this. The percentages of likelihood that teams make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In the National Hockey League. Let me see if I could pull up today's, because I saw it and I thought it was interesting because it's changed so drastically. Per Statleets, from Greg Wyshynski's Twitter, who works with us here at ESPN, the Tampa Bay Lightning have a 98.5% chance to make it. Flyers now are at 70. They were down to close to 50 at one point. So they've kind of turned themselves around by just basically treading water and teams around them not playing as good as they need to in order to stay relevant. Who do you think the third place team is there? Who do you think that team that has that third, that other chance to get that wild card? Because that's what it would be, right? If you say the Flyers have a 70% chance, you're going to say, okay, they get the three spot, right?
Right.
And then Tampa gets the other wild card. Who's that third team, do you think? Capitals, Red Wings, or Islanders?
Caps?
Yep, 58.6. Yeah. And then not only that, it drops to 27.7 and 26.4 for the Wings and the Islanders, respectively.
Well, I'm assuming, just off the top of my head, Caps have to have a lot of home games left because they just came back from being out west.
Okay.
And Ovechkin's hot.
It's red hot.
You know, so if Ovechkin's going to be hot for you and you're playing a lot of home games and maybe their schedule's a little bit easier than the others, I mean, why not Washington?
Hot,
right?
For Ovechkin. That's a song, right?
Yeah. Now,
thank you.
It's gone quietly.
Okay.
We've talked about it.
Into that good night.
But this Nashville story is a thing.
Right?
They win again. Now, listen, they beat the San Jose Sharks. All right, so what? But they beat them 8-2. Now, everybody crushes San Jose. But what is this now, 15? Stroh is at 13-0-2 in their last 15? I mean, it's... And
it's
Nashville's
incredible,
not
is
known,
what it is.
Not known for scoring goals, but, you know, Forsberg has a three-point night. Sherwood has a three-point night. It's two goals from McCarron.
It's not the names you're used to hearing from that team either.
You know, it kind of reminds me of like Winnipeg in the sense that they're not loaded with a lot of like flashy, sexy names, but this has kind of come out of nowhere. And I don't know how dangerous they can be, but you take a look at the Western Conference now, and they're just, you know, they're climbing up. They've got 84 points now. Now, they can't, I don't think they'll catch Dallas. Obviously, they're way too far for that. 7 points back at Dallas to get the third. But they've locked down, you know, I think the first wild card. They've got a 5-point lead on Vegas. And right now, Vegas, they got to be careful. Minnesota, you know, continues to play well.
6-2-2
in their last 10.
Stand by. Vegas, 79% chance. Wild, 23% chance.
Yeah, so they don't believe in the Wild.
So they don't believe in the Wild.
Now what about the Blues? Because they just came off a 5-game winning streak, and then they just lost last night.
Mike Brouncher's Blues have a 23.4% chance
to make
it. Yeah,
but still, you know, that's not nothing. I mean, to have a quarter of a chance to make the playoffs this late in the season just shows you just how much fun this is going to be down the stretch. This is going to be a war.
Yeah, it is. And again, Vegas is interesting to me for a different reason. Like, we talk about Tampa getting hot at the right time and being dangerous to a team that wins their division. If Vegas gets healthy and then has to play a division winner, I'd be afraid if I was that division winner. And we've talked about that a couple times. I like them when they're at full strength. I know that they're not playing at their best right now, but you can never count out a Stanley Cup champion. And a lot of that team is still there. And Bruce Cassidy is one of the best coaches in the National Hockey League. But right now, they don't look like a team that's going to make any noise in the playoffs. And we could say that that's going to be a tough matchup, and then they get that matchup with a division winner, and they lose in five. I mean, they could win an upset and not shock the world, or they can lose in four or five with how they're playing right now. And that's kind of the wild card that you have to play with Vegas, or the gamble, which is ironic, with Vegas. But I can't make heads or tails of pretty much anything right now, Don. Like, I'm pretty confident that whoever wins the East will beat that last wild card team with relative ease.
Mm-hmm.
But because I don't know who that's going to be, if it's Boston, Toronto, I would say absolutely Boston's going to beat Toronto just because that's the nature of things.
That's what they do.
If it's Florida against Toronto, I think Florida's going to win. Yeah. I think that's just the nature of things. But Toronto could surprise us this year. They just beat the Rangers. Their offense is very, very, very good. You just never know. The Central's wide, wide open. We've talked about that a bunch. It's going to be really fun. And I'm not saying that it hasn't been fun in years past. It's so wide open. And I think Mike Sullivan said it before the Ranger game. Just this is the most parity he's seen in the league in quite some time. And it's going to lead to some very exciting playoff hockey.
And what also got lost when we were talking about Tortorella and Couturier, what a big boy bout that was fight-wise between Reeves.
Oh, Reeves and Delorier?
Delorier, yeah.
Maybe they exchanged... How did you hit Matt Rempe?
Yeah.
Did you notice? And I'm not saying that Rempe's done this, Don. Maybe I'm just not really following it as much. But have you noticed that fights not have gone up? I mean, I guess there's probably a stat for this. But it seems like the heavyweights are more out to get each other in these games now after there's been a kind of some new blood in the water that's trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of teams competing, and I think the games have been spicy. But you're right. I think it's kind of brought a new light to fighting. Maybe Rempe has kind of sparked it up just a little bit. Because remember, when Reeves was a Ranger, he just didn't have anybody to fight. Nobody wanted to fight him. And there seems to be a few more big boys in the league now. And they seem to be... that was that perfect storm, right? Where just the Rangers and Rempe were playing teams that had guys he could fight in succession there, right? They weren't spread out. They could have very easily been spread out, but it was like four guys in the span of a week, and you don't normally see that in the National Hockey League. So, but it's kind of cooled down a bit with Rempe being suspended and not playing last night. We'll see if it sparks this weekend. Let's close it out with your tweets. DeAnthony Rose says, regarding my Vegas squad, the last 10-15 games have been lackluster. Do we have enough time to clean up the funk we are in before the playoffs?
Do you have enough time to get healthy is the question.
Yeah, I guess that's what it really comes down to, is how healthy you can be. I think they're going to be fine. I just don't think they're as dangerous as other people make it out to be. I don't think they're as dangerous as Tampa is in the East, but they do have a pedigree. Obviously, from what they not just accomplished last year, but look at the success that they've had since they came into the league. So that makes them dangerous. But yeah, there's enough time here. I mean, we're getting down to the last dozen games or so, but that should be enough time for you to feel better or worse about the team moving forward. But I think there's enough time to kind of clean it up.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't see this as a problem with the way that they're playing. I think it's a problem with the injuries that they have and the way that they're playing. But again, you don't know when these guys are coming back. I mean, Eichel's back, but you don't know if Stone's going to be back. That kind of hurts you. The additions they've made haven't provided the spark that, say, Tampa's additions have, or Tarasenko has. I'm trying to think of the other one that's escaping me right now. Look, you could even take a look at the Jets and the moves they made and see the impact.
Toffoli and Monahan playing on the same line,
right.
And it's a really good line. So, it does take a little time. Looks like the honeymoon's over in Seattle. David Hines says, with the Kraken season a disappointment, even dubbed by Seattle talk radio as a disaster.
Oh my gosh!
Who would you two say between David Hextall and Philip Grubauer, or both, is entering next season with more on the line in terms of job security? Well, see, that's the thing: is you wore off the first season. It's a honeymoon, right? No expectations. But then your second season, not only do you make the playoffs, but you win around. But then you have that huge step back, like what New Jersey went through, where it's not guaranteed to take the next step. So, do you panic, or do you just say, "Hey, it's just a step back. Let's keep it going"? But he nailed the two guys. I mean, I never was in love with the hiring of Hextall. I wasn't enamored with his career with Philadelphia and elsewhere. I mean, so could you improve that? Is it deserving to be fired? Grubauer, to me, it's just not cutting it. So I think there'll be some changes, but it put Francis in a really difficult spot here, to where now the honeymoon's over, going into year four, he's going to have some very difficult decisions to make.
Vegas has made it very tough for an expansion team to get off to a slow start because of the way that they were able to get assets so that teams could avoid giving away guys they didn't want to give away, and nearly hitting on almost every single one of them. William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault, Nate Schmidt was a big part of the early part of that, who was on that Jet team that the Rangers saw yesterday, kind of just stabilizing everything. Let's not forget Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, the big thing that Vegas got that Seattle didn't was a really established goaltender to really hold things down for them. And I don't see Seattle as much different than the Devils at the moment. And the Devils have more talent. And the Devils are a little further ahead. Matty Beniers is not Nico Hischier or Jack Hughes, right?
Right.
And they still have a lot of talent down in the minors. Shane Wright, hasn't really emerged yet for them. But yeah, is there pressure? Yeah, there's pressure, but I also think there's pressure to go get a goaltender. I think that Seattle and the Devils are going to be in the market, in the Jacob Markstrom market. I don't know if Seattle has an appetite to do that, and I don't know if Calgary has the appetite to help a team out in the West, but that's what they really need. And once you get that goaltender that you can really feel good about, then I think you could start thinking about, you know, what's next. And to call this a major disappointment, the only person that thought that they were going to win other than David Hein was me against the Avalanche last year. So,
right.
Like, I don't know why it would be considered such a major disappointment. They barely got in the playoffs. Well, because, they stunned the Avalanche.
But I guess everybody was expecting a step forward, and they took a step back. But I just think these are the growing pains of a natural expansion team. As you said, Vegas was an outlier. But this is usually kind of how it goes for expansion teams. A bit of an up and down. They gave you a little taste in year two. But that doesn't mean that they're not headed in the right direction. But we'll see what Ron Francis and Olchuk decide to do moving forward with that. Assad says, what line combinations should the Rangers use going forward? The line combinations that they've had. I mean, last night they just changed it up because they needed a goal. You're not breaking up the Trocheck line. They've been productive all year. I like Roslovic, Kreider, and Zibanejad. Now what do you do? I mean, from the bottom six, all right, Rempe will jump back in, I guess, for Brodzinski, although I think Brodzinski's played well. Gaudreau's got to stay in because he's a center. You can move VC. He said Cooley is kind of in the doghouse a little bit, so
it seems that way. I mean,
he's getting his minutes. He had a big goal against the Islanders. I thought he played okay last night. Not great. But I think they're just going to go back to what the lines were. I mean, this team has been, 16-3-1 in their last 20 games. I mean, they're going to lose games. I mean, we can't panic over every single loss the team has. Yeah, they had a bad second half of the second period and third period against Tampa. Tampa's been red hot. Winnipeg just won 3 in a row. How many goals have they scored in that span? 16 goals in the last 3 games. Winnipeg's one of the best teams in the NHL. And it's not like they were embarrassed. They had a 3-2 lead in the third period against Tampa, eventually losing 6-3. They made it a 3-2 game late last night. They're not being embarrassed at all. The Florida game that they lost a couple of weeks ago was a bad goal by Igor. Otherwise, that was, you know, a 2-2 game in the third period. I think that when you start playing great and you start competing for the President's Trophy, you're held to a different standard. But you're going to lose. I got news for you. They got, 13 games left? They're not going 13-0. So they're going to lose probably 4 or 5 games in that span. That's just the way it is.
Look, again, we talked about this, and Peter Laviolette mentioned it. If this team is healthy, you're going to see the bottom six change a little bit. Matt Rempe is going to slot in for Johnny Brodzinski. Maybe he slots in for Will Cooley. Maybe Edstrom gets back into the mix here.
Maybe.
When they need size, they're going to go to Edstrom and Rempe. When they need speed, when they feel like they need to, there's going to be a track meet like there was yesterday against Winnipeg, who's a very fast team, you're definitely going to see Johnny Brodzinski there. It's a good problem to have all of these pieces, but obviously what Ranger fans are worried about, and I guess that there's some reason to be worried about it, is who's going to be the 12 guys that you go to on a given night in the playoffs. And I think in a series, obviously, it's not going to change so much, but in and out of series, do you have like 14, 15 forwards you could feel good about? Not many teams can say that they do, that you can kind of interchange and make it work. I think that you're going to keep the Lafreniere line together. I don't see the Roslovic, Kreider, Zibanejad line changing anytime soon. It's going to be bottom six stuff. It's going to be some cosmetic stuff. You've seen VC and Cooley swap back and forth. Maybe Rempe gets into a game here and there. Everybody wants Barkley Goudreau out of the lineup, and I know the albatross of a contract of however much money he makes.
He's got two Stanley Cups. I mean, these are the guys you want in big spots. He's not paid. And listen, you don't want one goal, but there's a lot of the good that he brings to the table as well that kind of goes unseen. But he plays a position of need. Let's close it out with Tomas, who says, if the Capitals make the playoffs, is Spencer Carberry a serious Jack Adams threat? Who's your pick to secure the Wild Card 2 and Metro 3 spots? Well, the problem is, and I have a vote for the Jack Adams, it usually is in before the regular season concludes. We may not know until the end whether the Capitals are in or not. I think there's just too many more heavyweights. I mean, obviously, Rick Bowness is going to get a lot of consideration in Winnipeg. There's going to be major consideration for Rick Tocchet in Vancouver for the season that they've had. Does Paul Maurice get a look in Florida?
Yeah, I would say so. I think Knobloch's going to get some votes. He's not going to win. But
Knobloch's going to get some votes for what he was able to turn things around there. You've got it's always very difficult, Anthony, with the Jack Adams for me. I usually go for overachieving teams. Like, what what did I expect them to do at the beginning of the season? What did they end up doing, right? So that's why I think Paul Maurice may get consideration, because even though they went to the Stanley Cup final, it was, oh boy, they went to the last day of the season to make the playoffs, and then look what they've done this year. But I'll say that's kind of the same roster that won the President's Trophy 2 years ago with Joel Quenneville. So does that knock Maurice out? But Tocchet certainly in Vancouver was a big surprise. Winnipeg being as good as they've been is going to put bonus in there. Plus, I think there'll be some sentimentality because the guy's been around forever to be able to get some consideration for that. But, you know, listen, Carberry has done a terrific job there. To be able to keep their head above water basically with almost no Ovechkin in the first half of the season and their goaltending being in a state of flux. And I think they've done a terrific job there in Washington. And just be where they are right now, I think, is major consideration, but I don't think he'll get the consideration. And wild card 2, Metro 3, I think Philadelphia holds on to the third spot. I mean, they've had it this long, so I think they'll hold on to it. Tortorella will drag them to the 3 seed, and God.
I'm sticking with what I'm saying. I don't think Detroit's this bad. I'm going to stick with Detroit. I'm going to end up being wrong. It's probably going to be the Capitals, but I said it 2 weeks ago. That I think that it was all determined. It was just a matter of seeding. I'm sticking with Detroit. I don't think they're this bad.
But they've what?
They're 2-8. It's not good, Don.
The 2-8 and the 2 wins they have are against Columbus and Buffalo.
This is a hill to die on. It's not a good one.
No, listen. You were great. You were right about Seattle last year. You've been right about Florida. So I think it's a good one.
Big Red Wings Islanders game on Thursday. Big Red Wings Islanders game.
I still think. The Islanders, I know this is, they've kind of up and down, so all they need is like one more up to kind of get them there. I think they've got the better goaltending. I know Sorokin hasn't had a great year, but there's still, I think, greatness in him. So when you look at the goaltenders that we're competing with in Washington and Detroit and the Islanders, they've got the better goaltender. So I'm going to say the Islanders find a way to make it. I think good on Washington.
What a company guy you are.
But yeah,
it's beautiful
for now. But all right, so we'll talk on Friday. We'll have our top five of the week as we usually do. Get you involved at Don LaGreca and at Anthony Pusick at hashtag Game Misconduct. So let's do this again on Friday.
I look forward to it.
All right, this was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.